The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 39 for February 13th, 2006. Greetings, folks, and salutations and all that good stuff. I'm Dave Hamilton from the Mac Observer. Welcome to the Mac Geek Gab. Of course, I'm here with...
Hi, everybody. This is John.
Wow. Hi, John. How are you?
You're not going to hear that again anytime soon.
Well, they will if they hit the rewind button. Why doesn't the iPod have a replay button on it? It should.
Replay?
Yeah, like rewind. TiVo. You know, you hit replay and it replays the last 8 seconds.
They're working on that. But I thought I would make up for your less than enthusiastic.
I'm sorry. I have a cold tonight. So
I know.
I had it from last week.
So I thought I think I made up for both of us.
I think you did.
You get any white stuff?
Yeah, I got a lot of snow, man. But you got more than me. I think I got about 10 inches here in New Hampshire. You got what, like 2 feet? Is that right?
Well, you know my setup. I have the rear door, screen door. I got a screen door this year. And, you know, there's the deck with the grill, okay?
Yes.
I can't get to the grill.
Yeah, you got to use a shovel, man.
I tried to open the rear door, and I couldn't open it because the snow was higher than the door.
We have sliders out to our deck. That's a good... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
But I have the front door, so I didn't grill tonight. I used the oven. Though there I like grilling, even though...
So, oh, yeah. We do it, too.
Yeah, we got pounded, I think, New York City. A lot of our listeners are there. They got, like, record snowfall in Central Park. So, in the Northeast...
That's what it's all about. This winter's been light.
It's funny that we got more than you because I especially think farther up in New England we get there.
You're still Boston got more than us too. It blew out to sea. Mm-hmm. So, but we do have some bills to pay. But for this show we're going to talk about X-Grid tonight and distributed computing in general. And then we've got some random topics if we've got time.
That's pretty geeky.
And I've got some
really geeky
wish list additions. It is geeky. Well, this is the Mac Geek Gab. And tonight's Mac Geek Gab is co-sponsored by the Think Different Store at thinkdifferentstore.com. And last week you heard me talk about the Think Different Store. Of course, like I'd said, I've ordered stuff from there over the years. They just have a huge selection of iPod and Mac stuff. If you need stuff for an older iPod, they've got it. They've got a great little search engine on the site, thousands of iPod accessories, and they've got little product reviews so you can sort of figure out what it is you're doing. You can create a wish list there. They're shipping. It's cheap, and they get the stuff out the door quickly, so it's on its way to you. And last week I mentioned that they didn't have a coupon code, and this week they sent us one. So I kind of feel bad about that, right? Because they weren't planning on doing a coupon code. And then we asked for one and they gave us one, which is awesome. I mean, it's great that they listen and they respond. So now if you use the coupon MacGeek, you get $5 off any purchase at thinkdifferentstore.com, which is actually very cool of them. So
thinkdifferentstore.com. You know, I'm looking at it right now. Oh,
are you?
My gosh, there's just a boatload of stuff.
There is a boatload of stuff.
They have Choose Your iPod. I would imagine that lets you...
Yep.
Zero in on products specific to your iPod, whether it's, I see here, 5G, Nano, Shuffle, Mini. So that kind of helps you get through I don't know if it'd be millions, but...
I think it's thousands,
but it's still a pretty lively ecosystem.
So co-sponsored by the Think Different Store at thinkdifferentstore.com. And we're also co-sponsored by Audio Engine. And they're at AudioEngineUSA.com. And these are the people that made the speakers that I talked about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. They called the Audio Engine 5. And these speakers are designed for the iPod or your computer. But, of course, you could use them with anything. They've got a standard eighth-inch input jack on the back. And, of course, you can adapt that to just about anything else. These things rock. They're you know, 10-inch by 7-inch speakers. They're white. You can see them on the web. There was actually a review at iPodObserver.com today about them, too. But you can see them at AudioEngineUSA.com. And they sound great. I've got them here in the studio. They've got massive low end. I think the low end goes all the way down to 60 hertz. which for desktop speakers is amazing. And I believe it goes above 20, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't have that in my notes here. But let's just say that the highs are nice and clear. I don't want to overstate. Yeah, it does. It goes to 22 hertz. That's right. 22 kilohertz on the high end, which is above the range of human hearing, if I'm not mistaken. I believe human hearing tends to top out at about 20. So these are great speakers. Definitely worth checking out. They're $349 a pair, and they do expect to sell out often. They're constantly making, you know, they're ramping up production. Production is actually underway, and they will begin shipping on the 20th of February.
Now, we were lucky that we got some, and I'm holding one right now, and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
it feels professional. It doesn't look chintzy. It's a nice, they're heavy.
Yes. Yeah. 10 pounds a piece, I think.
So there's something going on in here.
Yeah.
But, I see the nice little, I don't know what you call this technically, but a nice little, air vent on the back, I guess, for the thumping.
It's a port.
I'm sure
it's a bass port. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I've seen that on high end speakers where they have something, because when you're thumping the bass or whatever, you got to have somewhere for all that air to go.
There you go.
I see here the you know, the socket has a separate fuse. That's a nice construction. AC select. So I guess you could do your you know, different voltage select, something for a I guess we've seen it in the diagrams for the Airport Express.
Yes, but so audioengineusa.com, and these are the Audio Engine 5s.
Yep. So I'm going to hook them up.
Good. Yeah, you hook them up and we'll talk about them again next week. So moving on to X-Grid, the X-Grid, of course, is Apple's implementation of a distributed computing platform, meaning you have a job that you want to run, and it's a processor intensive job, at least so to assuming, presumably. And again, I'm spacey tonight with this cold, so you guys will have to bear with me. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, John did a lot of research on this, so hopefully he can lead the charge. But in any event, there is a way with OS X of having one Mac start a job and then pass off bits and pieces of it to other Macs and let them complete their bits and pieces using their processors and then send it back. We sort of saw this, right, with the SETI at home stuff and the RC5 yep. challenges over the years. That was massively distributed computing. And I guess X-Grid could be used in that way. And there's no reason it couldn't.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we saw with the crypto efforts and the thing to keep in mind is that something like this is meant for tasks where breaking them up in little bits makes sense. As they've mentioned, the RC5, or, you know, they have different crypto challenges. Doing a brute force attack on a message where you have to guess the key, the crypto key, which could be, you know, 56, 64, however many bits. One attack, which, especially with today's computers, which is feasible because they seem to keep, you know, growing by leaps and bounds in processing speed, is a brute force attack where you're like, gee, I will just, exactly, Moore's Law, I believe every 18 months, you know, it's a...
Processor speed's supposed to double every 18 months, so I don't know if that's actually true, yeah. But anymore. Is it still true?
Pretty much, the market's, I don't know if it's totally true, but the market seems to have kept up with that. You know, we're looking at processors where we used to talk in hertz, and then we talked in megahertz, and now we talk in gigahertz, and we'll talk in whatever the next term is at some point. But the neat thing... back to distributed stuff is a lot of tasks like crypto or graphics or other work where you can break it up in little chunks is that you can distribute it among a whole bunch of computers.
Yep.
And as Dave mentioned, the screensavers, basically what would happen in addition to making, you know, things that look nice on your screen, it would be computing a very small part of a huge problem. But the thing is, if you have hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of people all doing that, it's like you have a big, huge computer.
Massive computer, parallel processing, right? In many ways, kind of.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all happening, you know, pretty much at the same time.
Yeah.
But so Apple was nice enough to include X-Grid in OS X to allow you to do that sort of thing. We'll put a link. It was actually it's something that came out of their advanced computation group. There's a
very advanced
in Apple. That I guess, you know, that's the sort of thing they look at. You know, how can we just, you know, do these huge tasks reasonably?
Yeah.
So it's in OS X.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go ahead here.
So did you play with it this weekend?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Okay.
And I computed many things.
And so I played with this a little bit too. So some of these questions are leading just for the benefit of you, the listener. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think John played with it quite a bit more than I did. So some of these questions are actually not leading. They're simply because I want to know too. Your overall, and I realize I'm jumping to the very end here, but your overall reaction, is it ready for prime time yet?
No.
Okay. So it definitely falls into the realm of geek speak, right?
Geek. Yes.
Okay. That's good. That's why we're here.
We will help you.
Yeah, that's right. So what do you need to do on your Mac to get started with this? Do you just go into the control panel and turn it on?
You know, you would think that, but no.
Okay.
So there is, and we'll kind of, you know, take a little detour here, but there is a way, you know, some listeners may have noticed there's mention of X-Grid.
Right.
In
sharing. You
know, the latest OS X. And yeah. Let me just do it here. Oh, and look at this. You know, if I type in X-Grid in the system preferences that has a spotlight type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a little spotlight around sharing. Well, you know, I better go there and check it out. Oh, look, there's a list of services and there's X-Grid. So look at that. I click on it. I'm going to configure it. And it asks me a couple of questions. It asks me controller. Well, what the heck is that? I don't know. And agent accepts. Well, we'll skip over that for now. But anyway, so it says controller. So it's like, you know, I bet you I don't have full control here because it's asking me for the controller.
Right.
So did a bit of surfing and one of our favorite sites here, Mac OS X Hints.
Those guys rock. We love you, Rob. We love you, Rob.
Yeah. So they had a little article on this. And as it turns out, so there is a version of OS X called OS X Server, I believe.
Yeah.
That has this service, but you know, if you know the right hand wave or incantation, you can activate your non-server version of OS X as a controller.
Okay.
How do you do that,
so just to back up, your computer, one computer needs to be the controller, the one through whom all of this is managed, if you will. Somebody that's going to pass out jobs to all the other computers, and then when it's got some free time, it'll actually process as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So as we brought up before, you know, in OS X, there is a thing in sharing that says find the controller.
Well, but you got to have a set of controller first.
So you need at least one controller. And as Dave hinted at, it's the, you know, it does a lot. So anyways, the way to do that, and we will, you know, have a link to this article, but basically you invoke a command line command.
Yeah.
Sudo xcode CTL controller start.
Okay, so
we'll have a link to the article.
The command is simply xgrid CTL, right? That's the program on your Mac. And of course, it needs to run as root, so you need to run sudo sudo and then xgrid CTL and then space controller and then I believe it's start, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And what that says is start up the xgrid controller on this computer.
Okay.
So you can do that. There is also a program we found out there. I believe it's called X-Grid Lite, which if you do
from
not
Ed
like...
From Ed Baskerville, right?
Yep. So if you, I believe it's Ed, but if you do not want to deal with the horrors of the command line or terminal or something, this is a utility, as far as I can tell, that does pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
It finds that, you know, secret hidden command to turn on the controller. So once you're a controller, that's step one. That's good. You need a controller.
Okay.
Now, you know, how do you
submit jobs?
Well, I'm going to put in a step before that.
Okay.
How do you know what the controller is up to, yo?
Ah, good question. So you want to actually see, once you've submitted jobs, of course, you want to see what's going on with the controller, right? You want to see that it's running. You want to see that it's ready to accept jobs, say. Is that right?
Or whatever, you know,
okay.
Just to connect to it and say, how are you? You
know,
what do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
And, what are your parameters? Who you're talking? And all that. And you know, how could you do now? Starting it up from the command line is good, but then
how do you query it?
Using the same command that you can find out what the status is, xgrid control.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't want to keep typing on the command line. That's a pain in the neck.
it is
geeky, so nice
though.
If somebody offered a GUI that could do that. And you know, I bet you Apple does, and yes, they do. They have a little shortcut in the same Mac OS X Hints article.
Okay.
You can download the Mac OS 10.4 Server Administration Tools.
And they're freely available from Apple?
Yes, they are. You can go to Apple's site. You can download them. Even if you don't have OS X server, you can download them and install them.
Okay.
It puts them in your applications server folder. So if you look in your application folder, inside of that will be a server folder, and you'll see a whole bunch of wonderful stuff in here. Most of it will not work because you're not an OS X server, but there's something called XGrid Admin.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, I'm going to click on that. And then it'll come up and say, choose a controller. Now, if you have run the command that we just told you to run, you will have already started the controller. So when you say connect to it,
now,
there you go.
Does it find the controller, or do you need to specify the IP address or tell it localhost or something like that?
As far as I can see, if you're on a relatively unfirewalled open network, home network, you'll see it. Otherwise, I actually tried it in the workplace today, and it did not see it, and I had to be explicit in where it is. So, depending on your firewall or your
network, it probably was using Bonjour, right?
Yes, and
on your local network.
Yes, I believe they say that in the documentation.
Okay.
I'll have a link to that.
Okay.
The feature list. So, so you may not find it. So make note of the name of the machine that is running it. Now, actually, there's a little tip here. Which I think they toss in, but you do have to set some preferences.
Okay.
Because by default, and actually, yes, they have this in their article as well. One of the preferences.
This is the Mac OS X Hints article, correct?
Yes.
I just want to make sure people know.
Thank you for the context.
Of course.
But
that's why I'm here.
That's why we're here.
That's why. Well, yeah, there you go.
Give you context. So the thing
don't
is,
give me context. I don't need it. I got a cold as it is.
So they mention a preference that you have to set, because normally when it's installed, it will be set up with a password. And that may be a pain in the neck to, on a local network, you're okay without that. On a open corporate network or a school network, you may want to set up a password to access the thing. But just for
now,
ease
is this
of,
a password to access the server or a password for the server to access the clients or both?
To access XGrid services on a controller.
Okay, gotcha.
So
okay, so the password is set on the controller. Got it.
The controller.
Got it.
So if you want to talk to an XGrid controller, because the controller has the ability to, you know, consume bandwidth on your computer, you may want a password. But if you're on an open, researchy type network, then you probably don't want to bother. But
got it.
If you're on a network where you would not want somebody to just come along and start running, you know, whatever they want on your computer and hogging your processor, then you may want to set up a password. But just for the sake of ease of implementation, they tell you how to turn that off. So that's the next step.
Okay. So now we've got the controllers activated, right? We've got a client out there, at least one, that's attached to this controller, right? We've gone into the sharing setup on two or three other Macs. And it's the grid is in place. Now what? How do we tell it to do something, right?
I don't know.
Oh.
Can you do that part? No, but a intermediate step here is that in the XGrid admin, there is a thing that when you connect to a controller, it also has a list of agents. Agents are the computers that you have set up through the system preferences sharing to make their XGrid resources available.
Okay. And could I name one of them Agent 86?
In the agents tab, you will see all the computers that have managed to contact the controller saying, hey, I have stuff, I have processor available for you.
Gotcha. And I don't think you heard me, but could I name one of them Agent 86?
Another Get Smart.
There you go.
We'll link that again.
Yes, we will.
Geek
humor. It doesn't get any better than this, folks.
Or worse, depending on your point of view.
There you go.
So maybe I'll give it over to you, Dave, a bit, because you got part of this set up, and then you did a little dabbling in how to... give the controller some work to do.
Yeah, that was actually the part where it got extremely less than all this setting it up. That this was great. Then when it was time to submit jobs to it, it was quite uneventful, right? Because the only sort of jobs that I found that you could submit were things from the command line. Isn't that correct?
Yes, but even then, how do you do that? So I think Dave. Dave dove into doing it from the command line, which is it just from the terminal saying XGrid?
Yeah, I believe that was the That was the deal.
So xgrid, so if you go to slash user slash bin in your home directory, or from the top level, there is a command line thing called xgrid.
Called xgrid, yeah. Mm. You can just type xgrid. You don't have to type slash user slash bin. But essentially what you do is you type xgrid and it then space dash h with the host name or the IP address of the controller, and then the you do some authorization parameters, you give your password and the way you're going to log in, either password authentication or Kerberos. And then
that looks nasty.
Yeah. And then
I'm looking at the manual page. It's just
and then you give it a job. So I use something called FFmpeg because that was a command line utility that I had that would actually do something that would take some time. And FFmpeg is a command line program that will take a video file and convert it into another formatted video file. So it was something that would take a significant amount of time. It wouldn't just, happen in a heartbeat. And so that did it. It fired up and you can watch the status and all that good stuff. But geez, who wants to do that? Do you?
No.
Do they?
No.
No.
Now, so.
Yeah. So what do you do?
I searched far and wide because of my laziness. I'm like, no way am I going to do this on a command line, even though command lines are fun.
Yeah, but what's the practical application of this, right? I mean, here's the reality, folks. And I know there's some of you at Apple that listen here. So I know you know this because you're not stupid people. We're all smart people. We have a lot of us, not all of us. There are many fortunate people that have Macs. In fact, anyone who has a Mac is a fortunate person for many reasons. However, there are a lot of people who have Macs who have more than one Mac in the home. And they use things like, say, iLife. Don't you think that iLife should be xgrid capable?
And is this a rant?
It is a rant. Like I guess it is.
It's a rant.
Who knew?
You've blossomed into a rant.
Why in the heck doesn't, say, iDVD or iMovie or even, well, I guess iPhoto wouldn't be, but iTunes, when you're converting to MPEG, right, when you're ripping a CD or whatever, why doesn't that just automatically connect to xgrid? Why can't we do that yet? I know it's coming. It's got to be coming. It's so damn logical that it's, of course it's coming. But why make a big deal about having it in 10.4? And then even the latest version what do we call it? iLife. I expected that to have native xgrid support. And, Mr. Jobs didn't mention it in the keynote. And so I got the copy and I looked and it was like, well, what good are you? Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say there's a bunch of people in the advanced computation group that are going, booyah.
Booyah. That's right. Because they want the budget to do this, which they should get it.
If they're even around, because every now and then I know that Apple does a little sweep of the what's going on in the labs and what do you do? But no, this one is high profile enough. Of course, they have.
Yeah. Well, and it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Yeah. Now I'm going to give you a pushback here. I think privacy is a little problem there.
Yeah.
I don't want you using my processor. It's mine. Damn
correct.
It.
Yeah, but you don't turn it on by default. Turn it off and just let people turn it on. I mean, I've got three computers in my office and two over at the house, and they're all connected with Ethernet. I mean, I just have this
just sitting there doing
most of the time. Yes, that's right. And even when the computer's in use, say surfing the web or checking email, there's still plenty of excess processor cycles there. So it's a cool technology though. So, but yeah, I interrupted you, which I tend to do. So I apologize for that. What's that?
You do?
You've never noticed this before? I've noticed it on occasion. I think we've done 38 and a half shows here. And I think I've done it maybe like more than twice.
A couple times.
But you were saying you found something, right?
Yeah. Now there are a couple things. Now, one, if you're sufficiently, I'm going to go for the geek, maximum geek factor here. Watch out.
Oh, I think we're there.
All right. If you've installed Xcode, Apple's very nice developer tools, you will see.
And that's included on the normal Xcode, right? The Xcode that's on the Tiger DVD, the client.
You can get it from, you can either install it from the OS or if you go, developer.apple.com, I believe, but they have a thing called But they have a developer site, and you can also download the developer Xcode tools for free. But right now they're called Xcode 2.1, I think they're up to.
Okay.
But if you install that, you will then get a folder on your main volume called developer. Well, you go to that, and then you go to examples. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Then you go to Xgrid. Oh, and look at that. There are a couple of them, and I compiled them ahead of time just for you.
You're so smart.
But there's one called Grid Mandelbrot. Interesting.
Ah, okay.
Some of you remember your math, you know.
Yeah, Mandelbrot fractals.
Fractals, all that fun stuff. And so you build that project, which I have done. And, oh, my gosh, where is it? Okay. So,
yes.
I thought it was here.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
That doesn't matter. So, you did it.
But anyways, if you build it, you will start up the Mandelbrot application, which is a very nice application of distributed computing in that it calculates a little sector of a very nice pattern. But it's a little graphic problem, and it can be broken up into little bits. So basically, when you start up the program, it will then say, oh, what Xgrid controller would you like me to talk to?
Oh, very cool.
The controller. And then what happens, basically, is that whole program, the demo program, which is a very nice demonstration of what this could do, will come up and start rendering it. But then if you bounce back to the Xgrid administration app, you will see the little jobs and the little odometer that will show how much effective CPU you're using. And you will see it start to go to like however many gigahertz that you have in your network.
That's
so
sweet.
And it will, you can stop it to just convince yourself that,
it's actually working.
It's actually working, yeah. but it's a very interesting application. So that's one that if you have gotten the developer tools, there you go. You have an application. Actually, I'm sorry. I just compiled it. I'm running, and it says, enter or choose a controller. I say connect.
Oh, don't use
it's starting to draw.
Don't use the processor on the machine you're Skyping with me with.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to say stop.
Bad. Yeah, very, very, very bad. So I do have a question for you, though. When it was in all its glory there, crunching away on multiple computers, what was your network utilization like? Do you know what sort of traffic it was that the controller was using? Do you have any recollection?
It was spurts. I didn't
Okay.
It was not noticeable.
Okay.
But let me go back because you were asking what do other people do?
Well, I found.
So
go ahead.
Grid Stuffer.
So okay.
A bunch of people at Stanford. You may have heard of them. They're a
that college school. Out there.
Yeah.
Out west there. Yeah.
And they developed something very nice and open source, and it has a GUI called Grid Stuffer, and it's basically an application that kind of does what poor Dave had to do in bringing things together on the command line, and it basically puts a GUI in front of that.
Okay.
So it'll see a controller, it'll let you submit jobs, and it will.
But the jobs, even with Grid Stuffer, the jobs still have to be command line jobs. You just don't have to type the command to stuff them into the,
yes.
the controller.
So you have a text file full of your command line stuff. Now.
Okay.
Here's the trick, you may have a GUI app that does have a command line option.
Yeah, but at least you can batch them together that way, right?
Yeah, so it does a very trivial example, actually has some built-in demos. It does one, it uses the cal command in Unix, which generates a calendar.
Yeah.
So it does that for a demo, but that's a start.
It's a start. So I in my searching here, I stumbled. Actually, I didn't stumble. I'm not going to take credit for this. One of our listeners, and I can't remember your name off the top of my head, suggested that after last week we said we were going to talk about Xgrid, and one of you said check out DVD21X, which is a program that I use quite a bit. Like I've said, I take movies that we have here that we bought, and I make menu-less copies to use in the car, so that the kids aren't scratching up the originals, and B, so that we don't have to crash the car off the side of the road reaching back to hit the play button when the kids are trying to read the menu to us. So DVD21X is a step in the process that we use. And I had not yet upgraded to version 2, but found out that version 2 supported distributed grid mode. Now it does not use Xgrid though, so this is this is sort of an extension of the discussion we've been having here. However, it works fairly well. You you launch, you buy a copy of DVD to 1X version 2, and your license lets you run it on multiple computers for just this purpose. And you put, I did it with three computers. So I had two computers where I fired up DVD to 1X, put it in client mode or slave mode, I guess they call it. Then went onto the master computer, or the computer that was going to be the master, configured it that way, told it which slaves to look for. So in this instance, mm-hmm. the master actually, from the master, you tell it, look for these slaves, as opposed to with Xgrid, the slaves are actually connecting to the master.
Master, slave.
Right.
This is normal terminology, by the way.
Normal
for those that terminology. Who are not geeks.
That's right, yes.
Don't get the wrong idea.
That's right. And then you fire it up, and it's interesting. This DVD to 1X is pretty smart. It knows that there's a lot of data to pass back and forth because you're talking about, you know, gigabytes worth of a movie that it's got to crunch. And so it intelligently decides whether or not it's worth it to pass all this data back and forth for whatever job it has at hand. And I saw it. It would sort of, depending on the size of the movie and what kind of crunching it had to do. The master computer was an iMac G5, so a 2 gigahertz G5. And on a sort of a trivial job, it would just do the whole thing itself. It would connect to the slave, but wouldn't actually ever send it anything. Whereas on a job where it had some good crunching to do, it would go ahead and fire this stuff off. Now, with that, like I said, there's a lot of data. So I was seeing throughput of averaging about a megabit a second. So Ethernet is definitely advised. And of course there's, you know, network overhead and all that stuff, but it worked. It cut the time. I mean, it was connecting to a dual, you know, the dual G4 that I've got here in the studio. And then the PowerBook G4 down in the office. And it definitely cut the time, you know, probably in half. And it worked real well. It you know, just fired up and off it went. So, And that way, you know, there was no command line because it's all built in. There was one weird thing. If you're going to run DVD to 1X, by default, it wants to listen on TCP port 512. Any port below 1024 is considered a root port, and your Mac needs to be running in administrator mode in order to allow something to listen on port 512. So by default, I could not get any of my Macs to fire up in slave mode on that port. So I just change it to 1512, 1512, and then it worked fine. So if you're going to go ahead and do that, make sure you give it a port above 1000 that nothing else is listening on. But 1512 seemed to work fine for me, and it was easy because all I had to do was put a 1 in front of it, and away we went. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Right? No.
Yeah.
Hey, so... You know what tomorrow is, don't you, John? Because we're recording this on the 13th of February. So tomorrow's the 14th of February. And you know what happens?
Tuesday.
Tomorrow is Tuesday, the 14th of February. And you know what happens tomorrow night? The New Hampshire Seacoast User Group, Mac User Group meets. Now,
get out.
Yeah. Now, here's something, though. And I've had this, and I've been hesitating and trying to figure out how to address this. Because I actually want to go to the, you know, I just moved here to New Hampshire and I want to go to the one of the local user groups meetings. So a couple of weeks ago, I saw, well, there's got to be one close. And there is. It's down in Rye. It's not that far. And I thought, well, this is great. When's the next meeting? And I noticed it's on Valentine's Day. Now, I understand that's the normal schedule. It's whatever the second Tuesday of the month, and that's when they meet. But we got it. And Mac users are cool people, right? But we got to do something to not further well, maybe we do, maybe we don't. By scheduling your meeting on Valentine's Day, you're furthering the geek stigma, right? I mean, it's just not, you know.
Go on.
That non-geeks wouldn't understand.
What are you trying to say?
Well, if you're going to meet on Valentine's Day, what kind of message does that send? And don't get me wrong, I understand Valentine's Day is a Hallmark holiday and all that happy ha-ha. But it is a good excuse to just get together with, you know, your significant other if you are lucky enough to have one or whatever. But it just struck me as funny. So when
you could bring your Valentine.
There you go. So when I told Lisa that my dad was going to watch the kids tomorrow night, she turned to me and she said, "So what time do we have to leave to make it to the user group meeting?" So she got the joke. No, we're not going. We're actually going to out to dinner here.
What?
Huh? What? So anyway,
the geeks of the world weep.
Yes, but I'll go. I'm gonna contact him and see about going next month because I enjoy those user group meetings. They can be fun.
What's that holiday gonna be?
What's that? March 14th is nothing. It's 3 days before St. Patrick's Day, though.
Oh.
Right? March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, which is a Friday this year, I believe. So look out, folks. It's a crazy night. Hey, you know, so I...
X-Grid. Are we done with that?
I think we're done with that. I have a couple of random things here. You know, I was in the Finder today, and I thought that I was in another program. And so I hit Command 2, and I noticed the view changed in the Finder. Did you know about this, John? And I know it's in the menu.
No.
Okay. Command 1, 2, or 3, when you're in the Finder in Tiger, at least, and I think it probably is true about Panther, too, it changes between icon is Command 1, list view is Command 2, and column view is Command 3. Isn't that amazing? It's,
you know, it's in the...
it's right there in the menu.
In the view menu.
I never noticed it.
That.
Yeah.
Could be pretty new.
I figured I wasn't the only one that that had neglected to pay any attention to that whatsoever. But it's a handy thing. I'll use that a ton. And so I figured I would mention it for everyone's reference. That was the price of admission alone, right, folks? Worth waiting 36 minutes just to hear that.
Ooh, 36?
36.
Wow, already?
Already.
Get out.
Hey, so it doesn't have tabs yet, but I found this piece of software called Chax, C-H-A-X. And it was
where do you want tabs, Dave?
I want, we might as well get the reverb going.
Go for it.
I chat with tabs. Yeah. So Chax doesn't offer tabs yet, but it does address a lot of really annoying things. I found it on macOS 10 Hints. I wanted to give them credit for Rob credit for highlighting it this week or last week. But it's very cool. It allows you to turn off that annoying feature where when someone instant messages you, you have to accept the chat from them. You can just tell it to accept all chats. And you can tell it to remember window positions for any given user, which is very, very cool. So, for all users, rather, I guess it's, you know, just the way that it goes. And there's a lot of things you can do with status messages. You can have it turn off the little picture-in-picture window when you're video chatting with someone, which is sort of weird because you kind of get used to that. But I guess you could open up another window if you like. So that's Chax. And he says, don't pester him about tabs. I'm hoping that means that he's actually working on it, but maybe it means he's just given up because, you know... I chat with tabs. It's just something we all need. I think I need it.
You need it.
I need it. We all need it. If you don't think you need it, it's only because you don't know that you need it. So now that you know, you should think you need it.
Yeah. So MacBook Pro.
Yeah. So mine's supposed to ship Wednesday.
What's your latest status?
The 15th.
Really?
February. But that's what it's always been. Remember, I ordered it, you know, 4 minutes after the keynote ended. I ran into the speaker lounge, got online and placed my order. I'm actually looking forward to it. I've been keeping an eye on all the universal binary stuff that's coming out. And I noticed Audio Hijack Pro has a universal binary version out. And Skype is coming with a universal binary that's got some actually Intel-only features. I think it'll do chats with 10 people or something. Yeah, we posted a thing on TMO about it. It should work on both processors. It's not an Intel-only thing, but it'll add video and all that good stuff that we Mac users have been missing. So I think I'm going to be happy with it. You know, I hope. Don't you?
So they got the name of that out. Now, you know, we have some names, proposed names for the other Macs that are no doubt coming.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking, especially what will be the iBook replacement?
Well, I think that'll just be the MacBook, right? That would be my guess. MacBook, yeah. Cause we've got MacBook Pro. And MacBook
Pro. You know,
Pro.
That That works out nice.
It does work out nice. It's almost like
can't be the Mac Mini because that's.
No, we can't do the Mac Mini. We couldn't possibly do the Mac Mini.
So just MacBook.
Yeah, I think it'll just be MacBook.
The desktop though. How about the desktop?
The desktop. Well, that's an interesting little idea there. I'm thinking
MacBook Pro. No.
What about just the Macintosh Pro, right?
Or Mac Pro.
Mac Pro. Yeah, we've had, I think what Corey Cooper said, Macintosh Pro. Neil Sorensen said Mac Pro. Somebody said Tower Mac, which I like. I think Corey like that? Said that. But I don't think that's not Corey Cooper. A different Corey said that.
Mm-hmm. Not that Corey.
Not the that Corey. Corey. Different Corey. Another. But Mac Pro was trademarked in New Zealand back in the fall.
How about Big Mac?
Big oh, Mac. No. What about Pro Mac? What about I don't know. I think it'll be Mac Pro. Seems like they, you know, if they trademark that somewhere, they're going to go ahead and do it. So, yeah, you know. So we've still got names for the studio. I have to put up all the sound tiles. You'll hear it's a little boingy in here. Well, maybe you won't hear it. I'm choked up on this dynamic mic, so you probably won't hear it. Yeah, this room's just a little boingy. It needs all the acoustic tiles that I bought. I bought like $700 worth of acoustic tiles, so I'm going to put them up whether it needs it or not. but you know, so we've got a couple names going. We've got Cone of Silence. We've got the Audio Attic, the Vault, and then Different Drummer Studios, which Charles Morrison explained sort of blends everything together because we got the Think Different thing from Apple, right? And then we've got the drummer thing, so that's how it was sort of married together. Hey, did you see the Mac Mini in an SE30?
Oh no, you sent me that.
Yeah,
get out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Why
it's
would
a,
you do that? I've seen the aquariums.
Yeah, well, this is a Mac Mini that somebody, you know, ripped the guts out of an SE30 and buried a Mac Mini in there. So there you go.
I see it.
Yeah,
I just loaded it.
We'll put that link in the show notes too.
Is this Chinese or?
It's Japanese.
Japanese.
It's Japanese.
.jp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, you know, it's good to have an OS that understands.
It is good to have an OS that does that.
And it doesn't show up because, you know, I work with my, my Windows colleagues at work, and a lot of times I'll get stuff that because I install the language pack on Windows, but and you probably have to do that on the Mac too, but it's part of the default. But it's nice to see that it shows up as something that makes sense instead of.
Yes.
Random garbage. Wow, look at that. They put a Mac Mini in an SE30.
They did.
Oh, man, that would just freak people out.
Yeah.
If you transported that in the future, or the past.
If you transported it into the past, it'd be that. You know, the SE30 was the first Mac I ever owned.
Really?
Yeah.
CI was my first.
I bought it in 1989, the SE30, before I went off to college. Wow. Yeah. Uh-oh, I just dated myself. Now everyone knows how old I am. Oh, well, at least I'm not as old as you, right?
No.
Someday I might be, though.
No, and if you want a hint as to how old I am, what's the episode number?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But that won't be true next episode, will it?
A couple more.
All right.
So,
that's it.
I think we're just about...
Next week is reader feedback time. I want to thank our sponsors, ThinkDifferentStore.com and Audio Engine. This is brought to you by Cashfly Hosting. If you want to sponsor this, talk to the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. Thanks for the iTunes comments and the votes at Podcast Alley. We have Gmail and I think like one Newsvine.
Yeah, like
so. Reader feedback, MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com, 206-666-GEEK.